game. And welcome to the Cubicorn Games podcast. My name is Dustin Morbido. Squawking, is that what you'd call that?
Probably.
To my right, Lorraine Morbido is here.
It's true.
Oh, that sounds weird.
I'm sorry.
It was really weird the first time I did it, because we had been doing this before then.
It's true, yeah.
So I had to shift. I had to make sure, like, I had to think about it. I was like, don't say the wrong last name.
Who are you?
And now it's a little easier, but that first time. And then joining us across the table, Jillian Ferriulo.
Everyone else brings their siblings to this podcast. I figured I'd at least bring one of mine.
That's right. We've had a set
down,
of brothers.
So many. Well,
I don't
your
know.
Brother, and then both, like all three McGraths.
Sure. A set I would count as
bro,
three.
I don't
like,
know if you want Carolyn on this show.
I don't know, man. That'd be.
She would just laugh the whole time.
Yes. It'd be a good time.
Giggling incessantly. How's it going?
It's great. It's grand.
That's good.
So
I'm doing okay. I'm doing good. I'm just tired. I don't know. I was really sleepy today. I don't know what happened. Like I just got like it got like to like 1:30 and I just like literally wanted to like put my head down on the desk and just quit for like 2 hours.
But... I did that one time, but we won't talk about
that. Hey, like I got like one of the best sleeps I've had in a while though.
Well,
so cool last night.
That's nice.
No, because air conditioning doesn't get up here very much, so it's kind of just stagnant and just kind of normally hot. So we've got like our ceiling fan and like a standing fan on. But I had the windows open last night. Mm-hmm. There was such a nice breeze. I was under the covers. It was amazing.
Agreed.
I was so comfortable.
You're not wrong, because the other day, it was like a day or two ago, I couldn't sleep at all. Like, I slept maybe 2 hours because it was, like, hot and crappy. But last night, it was okay. I didn't even sleep that bad. I just felt really tired.
I had a cat sleeping on me last night. That was my life. But it was pleasant. Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
We're glad to have you.
Glad to be here. Get into all of the things that you do. Shove myself in all the pockets.
No,
you might recognize her from our adventures in Final Fantasy 13.
If you care to watch.
She's been on the internet with us once or twice.
It's a good time.
I have. Making my presence, you know.
And doing other cool stuff when you're not here. What's your official title? Like, because you're a photographer / archivist or something like that?
Digital imaging specialist.
That sounds more awesome. Like, that sounds much more like a business card worthy.
I have a business card.
Oh,
I have many.
At the Henry Ford Museum, which we've talked about a little before, too. But if you need to know about
America's
it, just Google
nightmare.
It. It's a really cool thing.
It's a nightmare. It's a lot
built
of fun.
Built by supervillain Henry Ford.
Is he a villain, though? I don't know.
We've used it in contacts in the past of like, it's kind of like something a supervillain would put together, like
maybe.
Just getting all these houses and artifacts from like all over the country.
It's so strange
it
how he
so
actually,
strange.
Well, just like how he collected things. Mm-hmm. He collected so many of the same kind of thing in the beginning to show like progress.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so it's like, even then, you know, some odd, it's been what, almost 100 years since the museum was opened and... Like, that's still kind of what we're even doing now is, you know, showing progress and showing how things have changed and these important artifacts like the Apple One. But, like, just showing technology that's changed the world. And
right.
Like, he was already doing that.
Yeah, because I had read things that it was, like, at some point, like, his weird archivist thing was, like, a way to recapture his childhood in a way.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was stuff from, like, when he was a kid. So it's kind of the same like, way that people collect, like, old video games or vinyl like music or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
he just did it on a really large scale in his own.
Could,
well,
because
he was so freaking rich back then, and now it's just
Because wasn't some of the train stuff just like he liked trains, so he had a train and he drove
and
the
it
train
was
around.
All, a lot of his stuff that he collected too was just things that people that he idolized, like
Webster House or
whatever, stuff like that. But like
Wright
even
Brothers
with the
bicycle shop,
even with like the not that it's you know connected to the Henry Ford, but the Dearborn Inn that was his at one time, and he built that. Well, he built that across from his airport, which is now Ford headquarters. But he built the inn so people could, you know, fly in and stay there. But then even the houses there, like he's got like the Walt Whitman House and the Poe House, like based off of these like great people of the time that he you know admired or envied or whatever, great innovators in their own style, like writers and you know. People making airplanes and Thomas Edison, who was his BFF, and John Burroughs, who was a naturalist, and like Harvey Firestone, who you know created tires, not really, but, you know, in essence, uh-huh. created a tire empire.
Sure.
Like, we have all of his wife's shoes. Like, why? I don't know. Like,
Edison's last breath.
We have his last breath. Like, it just...
Yeah, sometimes you don't put that stuff together, but I hadn't thought that, yeah, like a Walt Whitman or like a Edgar Allan Poe would have been contemporary writers
it
of the day.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
When he was a child.
Yeah. I mean, even, yeah, even before his time and during his time and all that, it's just, mm-hmm. it's, yeah, it's a very interesting...
If you're ever in this area, you really...
Go.
Owe it to yourself to go.
It's pretty yeah. neat.
Even yeah. if you, like, you need... It's great to see both the museum and the village, because yeah. they are two separate entities. Mm-hmm. Like,
very
the village
unique.
Is completely outside. It's yeah. all these, like, it's historic buildings that he brought from other places. And like
Or replicated.
That, yeah, or replicated.
Sometimes,
yeah.
like, Henry Ford's, or not Henry Ford, Thomas Edison's lab from Menlo Park mm-hmm. In, I think it was New Jersey, actually has he brought dirt in from New Jersey to put the building on, and then got in trouble for it because you're not allowed to move like
oh, sure.
land across state borders. But he numbered every board that they because they mm-hmm. de-assembled the house, and then when they reconstructed it, they put it together
in
board
sequence.
By board, number by number,
oh
like
God.
Just because he was that precise and that accurate.
Who Henry Ford or Edison?
Henry Ford.
Maybe
did
both,
it. Yeah.
but in this
yeah.
case, Henry
yeah.
Ford, because he was the one moving the house.
Yeah, but like building. Just, I mean, he's got one of Edison's labs from Fort Myers, Florida. Mm-hmm. Like he took it, like he took things from everywhere, all over the place, and just.
It's really
put
unlike
it all together.
Any other
yeah,
museum
it's completely
in the country,
unique.
If not the entire world.
Probably the world. It's, I mean, it's one of the, you know,
mm-hmm.
singular of
yeah,
its
I
type.
Mean, yeah,
there's
like
historic
saying,
houses and historic villages
yeah.
all over, but this is just kind of like
mm-hmm. everything all
a
the
collection
time.
Of historic buildings,
yeah.
which is a very
so
strange
weird.
Thing to come across.
And I mean, we have almost a billion artifacts, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's including 2D, you know, archival papers and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. Not just... you know, three-dimensional objects, but,
right.
I mean, we've got
letters
so
and
much.
And...
Yeah, we've got almost everything from, like, the Ford archives of, like, transcripts to,
mm-hmm.
you know, business notes to, you know, correspondences between Ford and, like, other companies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, we have so much stuff.
And,
it's
like,
insane.
Even though it is, like, associated with, like, the Ford name is obviously
mm-hmm.
associated with, like, automobiles, and there's
yeah.
a lot of automobiles.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
also, like, infinitely other like a million other
oh
things
yeah there's
too,
so much
like,
machinery
oh,
and
yeah. farm
like,
equipment and...
yeah there's a huge agriculture exhibit there's obviously cars but
mm-hmm.
there's trains like literal full-size
yeah,
trains
like inside
working
and also outside
operational trains that are historic you know historic Model
working,
T's
at
know.
Least one working farm is it or
two,
is it multiple
two,
it is two
Daggett
farm.
And Firestone
yes
yeah.
that's right Daggett that's
so they've got they cook food and grow
yeah.
food and kill the animals that they have there
people
like
people are in period
they
clothing
do, yeah.
like all the time
100% of the time
it's
yeah.
crazy
it is unreal it is something else I don't
it's quite
it's
quite
a cool
a thing.
Place to work
it is
and like Lorraine
yeah.
said also a cool place to visit
mm-hmm. yeah I don't ever get bored with my job that's for sure
Maker Faire Detroit is held there every summer and
I'm
getting
a good excuse to come
getting
to
a pass
some
to
extra
that
thing. Although
gets
that,
you into
if
the
you've never been
too.
There that would probably be a bad time to
yeah.
come
yeah
because then it just distract from like
because
you want to see all the stuff
there's
that
too
was
much
in there
to see
yeah.
then
yeah exactly.
unless you go out into the village that's probably a little thinner out there because it's not like
yeah
because all of the Maker Faire stuff is either inside the museum or in a, like an outside parking lot, like connected to the museum, and all done up fancy with people in their tents and whatever. And then the village is just completely separate. But yeah, it's just ooh, it's something.
We have horses and chickens.
Yay,
and baby lambs.
Yay! No pigs or pigs.
Yes, we have
pigs
now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And barn cats.
Two little pigs.
They're super cute.
Lots of cats. One of the cats actually lives in the roundhouse with all the trains and sleeps on one of the conductor's desks, like in the wintertime. That's weird because they're outdoor cats. And
yeah.
They,
oh,
sure.
Yeah.
They kind of go
sleep
where they
outside.
Want.
Yeah.
They keep the rodents
the mice
and
away.
Such
yep.
out of the barn.
Yep.
The actual barn that they
the
put things in.
The actual barn. Yeah. With the horses and the sheep and the
mm-hmm.
pigs and such and chickens. We've got turkeys that are actually endangered. I found out the ones that we have are
like the whatever specific breed
whatever
or variety.
It is.
Yeah,
yeah. They're you know an actually
aww.
Endangered species. So.
Save the turkeys.
Yeah, so we're helping the turkeys.
Yay.
Somehow. Anyway.
No hamsters though.
Well, no, not that I know of. But you never know. We
lob
do have...
that one high and slow over the plate for you guys. If you want to continue your pre-podcast
lovely,
Hamtaro,
lovely
Hamtaro
discussion.
We were talking about. Well, because the reason I had brought it up was because
it was my fault.
Well, partially because we were talking about Harvest Moon a little bit.
Perfect. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a video game.
Yeah.
It's a great video game.
But I mean, how's it related to Hamtaro?
It's
continue.
I don't exactly, like I said, I don't exactly remember. But there is a
it's
Harvest
cool.
Moon-like game coming out. think it has just been announced for Japan, so it's not obviously here probably in the near future at all. But they're partnering with Hamtaro, and you can get a hamster in the game.
Because what's, you know, Harvest Moon without a hamster?
What's Harvest Moon without pets?
That's a strange press release.
Yeah, true.
We're partnering with Hamtaro to put
that's what I'm saying. Like, the two do not go together.
Because I think it was, because I had seen it in that, like, the trending section of Facebook. A lot of weird stuff shows up there.
It does.
And it said hashtag Hamtaro. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then I clicked through and it's like, oh, it's like, it's going to be in a video game that's not a Hamtaro video game.
Hashtag Hamtaro.
Hey man, Hamtaro's legit.
It is.
Because like I did watch, like, I feel like I was
showed you a handful of episodes.
Other than
last
that, though, when it was on, like, Toonami or whatever, when it would have been on Cartoon Network, I saw it a couple times. And
it's so cute.
Because it's really just like a slice of life show.
It's a slice of life show about these hamsters and their fantastical adventures. Yeah. And it's adorable.
Like, when did we ever need to know about this? And it's obviously right now. We needed to know it.
All the time.
Always and forever. We must Hamtaro.
Always Hamtaro.
It just makes the
most
sense.
It's so cute, though. Oh, my God.
It is, and I can't remember the theme song, but, you know, it's fine.
I mean, at the very least, it's a good palate cleanser from glowing dudes punching each other, so.
True. True.
Oh, DBZ.
Anyway.
Beautiful. Beautiful mess.
Which DBZ movie did you watch today? You said you were watching DBZ movies while working.
Because it's just, because we have that Funimation thing again, because you wanted to watch one of the movies, and you can get, like, 2 weeks for free.
It's terrible.
It was terrible.
Did
really
you watch a better one than that?
Well, I mean, so I had watched the Garlic movie yesterday, because I wanted to see it again, because I love Garlic Jr. He's the best. He's the best dumb little terrible gremlin you've ever seen. And then, so I ended up, I was just like, well, I haven't seen the other first few ones, so I watched Earth's Strongest, or the Wheelo movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Turles movie. And
Brandon Jar, Eat Some Fruit.
Yep. And then also the Slug movie. And had part of the first Cooler movie on. Which does not have that beautiful music.
American soundtracks are really something.
Yeah, it had the Japanese one.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was kind of sad about. Because it was, what even was the band? I don't even remember.
It was like it was a licensed soundtrack that just had all kinds of, like, crappy new metal from the early 2000s.
It was so
there was
weird.
A Disturbed track on there. There was, like, I can't name any other specific band on it.
It was special.
It was really something.
As opposed to the, like, fucking, like, 70s sitcom music that DBZ has in Japan, which is something else.
Yeah.
It's truly special. But I just had those on while I was working on various game stuff today. Because it's nice to just have, and it's something I can kind of ignore, but also kind of watch.
Because it's really so, like, both in the instances where they did something like that for movies, like when they localized them and they licensed soundtracks to the, like, the original scores that they had recorded from Blue Falcon or whatever, like the group that did that stuff for the U.S. releases of Dragon Ball Z. I've said this before, probably on here, but maybe not, that they did an excellent job tricking kids in the U.S. into, like, thinking that DBZ was way more tough and badass than it actually is. Because those Japanese soundtracks are, like, they sell that, it's, like, as exactly what it, like, in retrospect, as looking at it as an adult, you're like, oh, yeah, this is absolutely, like, a light, adventure-y, like, soap opera with fists. But, like, when you're a 10-year-old and you're watching it and it's just, like, anime dudes screaming and hitting each other. It's like, oh, yeah, this is the coolest, toughest thing I've ever seen.
It's like, guess again.
That's why when we would watch the Blu-rays, we had to put the English soundtrack on as opposed to the Japanese one.
Mm-hmm. If nothing else, the sound cues are definitely better. Mm-hmm. Like, there are weird just, like, silences.
There are some. It's,
like, and
it's,
just, like,
it's something else.
Yeah, the, I don't know. The Japanese audio weirds me out. What are you going
to
do?
There's a lot to be said about the differences between Japanese audio and English audio. That is for sure.
Well, it's even just, like, the music tracks. So, like, it's like a, like, God, who, I don't remember, who was it, Bandai?
Well, Funimation.
Or Funimation, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, because the Fullmetal Alchemist one is Funimation, too. So their Blu-rays were, like, crazy, like, well put together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could pick the, like, the speaking audio tracks,
and then also
obviously
the music,
subbed or dubbed, and then also the the music, the background music.
I feel like I've
that
never seen that
it.
Before.
Yeah, and the best
the
thing
option.
That they did, which still just it, I can't imagine why no one else has done this, is they have an option called Marathon Play. So you see the first opening and the last ending and nothing in between. It just seamlessly keeps playing, so you don't have to, like, skip the opening every time a new episode starts.
Yeah.
It's great. And then they have a Full Metal Alchemist Blu-ray as well, and also has Marathon Play on it, so you can just watch forever.
Interesting.
You should
That's
be watching.
I know. I need to rewatch those.
Mm-hmm. We watched a good portion of Fullmetal Alchemist and then it just got away from us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Those Blu-rays are pretty well put together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know people complain about them because they have kind of the pan and scan thing, but, like, whatever. You're a Dragon Ball Z purist. That's a bridge too far for me, maybe. But they're totally serviceable. Like, it's not ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and if it were, like I said, if it were something that was a little more, like, cinematic, like if it were, like, a more deliberately shot,
Ghibli movie or
yeah,
something
exactly
like that.
Something where, like, clearly everybody planned out every single frame to, like, the T.
Mm-hmm.
But for something where it was just, like, essentially a kid's show where they were just cranking out episodes and
at least it's not
I don't think
Ball
so
Super
much is
level
lost
of
that, oh yeah,
that live animation.
Mm-hmm.
But else.
I could tell the difference, like I had told you before, based on some of those card images from the card game of, like, oh, I can tell that there's a little bit of that frame missing because they basically zoom in to make it widescreen, and then you miss a little bit of the actual image because they're just, like, making it a little larger to fill 16:9 as opposed to, you know, old school squarer TVs.
Speaking of Studio Ghibli, I did watch Princess Mononoke the other night.
Good times.
For the first time in a while. That
Love
was
it.
A good time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot a lot about that movie just from not watching it.
We watched that relatively recently.
I'm like, this one is so much more violent than the rest
well,
of
that's
them.
That's why Disney didn't bring it over. Like, it was Miramax, and it's one of the few, if not maybe the only, actually PG-13 Studio Ghibli movie.
Oh, is it?
Maybe.
Can you name another one?
I would believe that, but
maybe Grave of the Fireflies, but I'm not sure if that actually counts. If that's
well,
just
it's not
sad.
A Miyazaki movie, so but it is a, like.
Well,
said,
I'm saying I said Studio Ghibli.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was going off of. I think he might have had some hand in that, but yeah, I don't think he, like, actually directed
Grave
that
of
one.
Fireflies might be R-rated. I don't actually know.
I can find
out. Gonna go look.
I'm gonna go get it.
Fact checking ruins podcast. The rain.
I don't think I've ever watched that.
No, we've only watched it. Well, you need to prepare to watch that shit.
Yeah, it's like it's a similar to like Schindler's List or some other kind of tragedy. Like, you have to emotionally ready yourself to watch a movie like that from start to end because it's really something. But it's not like something you would just throw on in the background or like, what am I gonna watch tonight?
Really?
Damn.
Huh.
This is a movie, all right. Oh. Yeah, we watched that once, and that was, like, enough for, like, 2 years, like, maybe even more. I would watch it again, but you really need to be in the right, like, mental state to get into that
1988? One. Yeah, that's when nobody gave an F about anything.
That's right.
That's why.
It's hard to sit through.
96% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's really good, though. Like, it's amazing, but it's just...
Yeah, I feel like even, like, there's plenty of examples, I think, of in the 80s of stuff with weird ratings, but I think, like, some of those Indiana Jones movies were, like, PG, have face melting, and... Granted, like, those effects don't exactly hold up today in the same way that they might have then, but still, I'm assuming if you're, like, an 8-year-old or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was probably that young when I saw those movies. I just thought
it's
the Nazis deserved
freaky.
It.
It's freaky. It's not like...
It leaves
an
impression on you
fake,
when you're
but
young.
It's like...
Uh-huh.
Well, when you're little, though, sometimes you can't really, like, oh my gosh, is that really real?
Ah!
So.
Special effects were different then.
That's
it was all squibs. Yeah. So it was like explosions and gushers of fake blood.
I like gushers. Gushers are good.
I don't think that's the same thing.
It's not the same thing,
but
it's
it could be.
Same name.
Maybe.
Anyway.
Homonyms.
Video games.
Video games.
Have you been playing any video games, Lauren?
I have. As we had kind of briefly touched on earlier, I'm still trucking along in 13. Got to chapter 12. And if I'm to believe the walkthrough that I just wanted to get, like, an idea of how much longer this thing is going to be.
Forever.
And it sounds like I've got one more fight, like a big fight for this chapter, and it seems kind of close to where I am, and then we move on to the 13th and final chapter, and then we done, and that has a handful of the wiki I was looking at got really crappy when I tried to go to the next page with the thing on it, so I didn't actually look through that too much, but I can't imagine there's a whole lot left. But who knows? That chapter 11 went on for
we'll
like 80,
never know.
80 years. So whatever. we did a little old game shopping on Saturday. I think that was Saturday.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And I, you found something in particular that you wanted, and they had a buy two get two free special, so you ended up getting Shinobi for the PS2 and Space Channel 5 for the Dreamcast. And then I got Lightning Returns Final Fantasy 13. Which I don't think we'll stream, but I'm at least going to dip my toes in at some point. And because from what I read, I was looking at the back because I still don't know too much about either 2 or Lightning Returns. This one seems to be closer to 15 in that it's like an action game or like the Kingdom Hearts.
And it was more like
sounds that. All right to me. I'm down. And then I also picked up Project Sylphide,
I think.
Which I guess was an arcade game at one point. I don't know. It's this crazy space shooter that was like published by Square Enix, and it's basically anime, and it's kind of crazy and fun. Who voices Ed is also the main character. Yay! His name is Katana, which isn't a name but a sword.
No, it's a sword. Silly game.
Silly game. It's like really anime though. Like it's kind of over the top and obnoxious.
I kind of want to see it now.
It's downstairs. I can show it to you after this. Cause I never heard of it. I was just looking at it. We needed a third thing, and I'm like, "What's this? You want this?
I choose.
Okay, this is for me now."
Yeah, I'd seen it before, but I wasn't familiar with what it was either. It looks like it's basically like off-brand Gundam, story-wise, kind of.
Cause a little
like
bit.
Space anime people in like space colonies versus Earth.
Kind of.
Something, something.
I actually played a little more today. I played like a chapter, a mission, which takes like half an hour. Ugh. And it's just kind of like, there's a government that's been governing space, everyone.
There's always been a government
for like
that's governing something.
500 years. It's like 25 something or other. Like, it's in the future. And then there's like these radical crazy people. And they just found out that their like academy best friend is like the ace pilots in these rebels. And they're like,
how could they?
And so that's where I ended it after that cutscene. It's interesting. It's pretty cool. It's kind of crazy. I get lost in the controls a little bit and die a lot because I run into things when I shouldn't.
Don't do that.
I do, though. I had when I was playing the one mission earlier, because they're broken up into like pieces sometimes, and you can just restart the one that you mess up, but it takes a long time. And you can make, like, you can do a really big, like, just, like, you have like no turning on the ship and you just go really fast. So I had just healed up and I did that and ran into a barge and instantly died. Like, what's happening? It's pretty fun though. Like it's different, but it's neat, and it's space shooters, which is kind
of
fun.
Inside of space. I feel like I've asked this before, but what are you guys gonna stream next? I'm pretty sure you answered this question.
We haven't exactly figured what next. I know you're gonna play something next as opposed to me.
I have a couple ideas.
One thing Kyle had suggested was Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, which he would
sounds like
that's
a
high
drink
performance
at Taco Bell.
Right,
it does.
It absolutely does sound like a Mountain Dew flavor.
It's
like
the Retro Studio.
Yeah.
It's the second like new Donkey Kong Country game.
The sequel to Donkey Kong Returns.
Yeah.
Or Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Because that was for the Wii, and then this game is for the Wii U.
Like, that sounds high pressure for the internet, like a kind of precision platformer. I'm not saying I won't do it. I'm just saying.
What else have you been thinking about? Because I know we had kind of said a few things, like a different RPG.
You want me to tip my hand?
Do
I got
it.
A couple ideas. My thoughts were still either Skies of Arcadia.
I know how much you love that game.
Or Valkyria Chronicles.
I know how much you love that game.
That other new one came out not that long ago.
Yeah, the
got
PS4
that copy
version.
For PS4. So we'll see. Maybe either of those.
Email in with your suggestions. podcast@cubicorngames.com.
La, la, la.
I know you're out there, Todd. You've sent us emails before.
Who's Todd?
Is he...
Friend of the McGraths, originally. Yeah.
I was trying to remember what
no
exactly
longer?
Was our...
No.
He and his wife and
we
daughter
got introduced
live
to
in
him
Japan.
Through them.
Oh.
And he was actually visiting for a little bit. and came on the podcast after having emailed us a few times.
former friend of the McGraths. Originally.
Yeah. We don't talk anymore.
Since then.
Until the dark times. Yeah. No, it's not. That's not what I meant.
Interesting. Okay.
So I don't know. Yeah, we'll see.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully my Fridays will be free by then. Not consumed with softball. Though at the rate you're going with Final Fantasy, that might not be
true. We'll
be
done by the end of the calendar year.
I would hope so. My God, it's been 5 months.
You'll probably be done by the middle of summer.
Technically like our sixth month doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But like five total, I don't know. We started in January. I don't know.
There were a couple weeks where we were
There was like 1 week, I think, where we actually missed an episode. Because before New York, we did it on Thursday, didn't we? No, we did miss two weeks.
Yeah, I was going to say it would have been the 2 weeks
we were
gone.
I was thinking something. There was another time where we shifted it to Thursday.
The drugs have affected your brain.
Probably.
We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. We'll figure something out.
Yay.
Yeah, there's... no, maybe not.
We can't all schedule around you.
I mean, you could.
I mean, we could.
Mm-hmm. You could? No, I'm just kidding.
Anyway.
I just have fun.
It's fun. I love having people on.
L'internet.
And the other thing today, because I've been kind of like I love handheld games. I've talked about this a million times before on here, and I've been in between playing something on a handheld just to like pick up and just play whenever. So I booted up my Game Boy Advance SP and put in my copy of Tales of Phantasia to actually beat this game this time, because I played it for like maybe like 30 hours last time, and just I got near the end and got kind of confused and then just put it down for too long. So I'm playing it again for I guess technically the second time, but I haven't beaten it yet. So that's fun.
That's what I'm gonna play Tales of the Abyss again.
That's what I was thinking about, because I'm looking at my 3DS copy of that, which I have beaten, and was like, I could play this again. And I was also looking at Tales of Hearts R for the Vita, which I could play again. And Tales of Vesperia came to mind for a little bit. I've got the Tales of Zestiria that I haven't even touched for the PS4. So many options. I could play Tales of Cilia again and go the Mila route. Tales. There's so many Tales games I could be playing.
Too many Tales.
So yeah, I'm doing that. At least, well, I played for like an hour today,
mm-hmm.
and have kind of gotten far. But that's what I've been doing.
Cool.
Yay!
Indeed. Jillian, have you played any video games recently? Feel free to opt out if you haven't.
No, I haven't. I wish I had.
Just yeah, kind of.
Being an
weird.
Adult
yeah.
gets in the way.
It really takes it out of
yeah.
you.
Yeah, I mean, I was playing, which one do I have? X? Do I have X or Y?
X. Okay, I guess you because it has a deer on it.
Yeah. I was playing Pokemon X.
Pokemon!
I was playing it pretty frequently, actually.
Yeah,
for a while.
For
a time,
playing,
I really was,
like,
and then I...
Bring it here on Fridays and playing it while you were here.
Yeah, I got busy and then just have not gotten back to it yet.
Pokemon!
I know.
It's a good Pokemon, though.
It is. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun, and I think that's why I kind of, like, got into it and really mm-hmm. kept with mm-hmm. it, because, I mean, like, I started playing... Previously to that, I think I started playing... Wind Waker on the Wii U mm-hmm. when I got it for Christmas, and then played that for a long time. Like, I had a lot of time off after around Christmas, and so I'm like, I'm gonna play all this. And then I think it got to the point right after Tower of the Gods, and then I was like, oh God, I was like, I have to go to all the islands.
Did you get the fast sale in that game?
I don't think so.
Because you can get a sale that goes faster.
Oh.
It's on Windfall. I don't exactly remember how to get it.
I don't think I did. I'm sure I didn't.
You can press the A button to go faster,
huh.
and then you go faster.
Yeah, I think I need that. but yeah, I was playing that for a little bit, and then I was playing...
They did change up how you get the Triforce Shards in that, though. It's a lot easier.
Really?
There's no
play it
charts.
Again, I think that's why I was kind of like, I just remembered the GameCube, and I'm like...
You just go for the shard.
Ugh.
You're not going and paying, like, 400 rupees a piece for each chart. I think it's just you go find the shard... You're not getting the charts at all. They cut out the middleman.
Okay.
That part was always the worst.
That was that. I think that was why, like, I started and then like I.
You knew what you were in for.
I beat the Tower of the Gods and I'm like, oh god, do I have to go through this? And I stopped and then I'm sure I, you know, got back into the swing of work and then I just didn't pick it up because I'm like, this is just gonna take me so long and like I only have so many hours a night after work to like do this and I'm like I can't be staying up like 4 or 5 hours like playing this game to get these stupid shards.
We do have the updated guide for that game.
Oh, yeah, I should probably get that.
You would like that.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing, too, with games like that where it's like a many multi-hour endeavor. Yeah. Like, if you put it down for a couple days or, like, a week or whatever, at that point, you're, like, almost past the event horizon. Yeah. Like, can I even come back to this without just starting it over again?
Yep.
Like, at least with, like, Zelda games, it's a little easier because they're not as, like,
sure.
Story
or a game you've beaten before.
Right, yeah. It's like, yeah, I know what happens. Bigger, so.
You don't need to pay attention to what's actually happening.
Not really. It's all, I mean, even when I was
who are you?
Playing
oh, you're Ganondorf? Okay, fine. Let's do this. Come on.
I was going to say, most of it was more or less muscle memory because I'm like,
that's
I remember this game.
That's
what
threw
like,
me
I
off when I got to the Triforce chart part.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I thought I knew where I was going and I get somewhere. It was something, I think I was looking for the chart. I thought I was looking for the chart because I didn't look up that part changed.
You thought wrong.
And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, well, I've got a shard of the Triforce now. Yeah. Like, this is different. Okay. And then, yeah, they move stuff around a little bit, too. Hmm. And it's easier. It's a lot easier.
Interesting.
Than before the however many times I've played Wind Waker and done that stupid side quest. And by side quest, I mean main part of the story that you have to do or kill yourself.
It seems like a side quest, though.
Oh, my
really,
God.
Really, all
the
running
worst.
Around seems like it. But.
I think that's the only bad part I have, the only bad thing I have to say about Wind Waker is that.
Yeah, just the chart. That's why I got done with the tower. I'm like, no.
I mean, you
no, I don't have time for
these. Dungeons between that, the Earth and Wind one.
Well, right, yeah.
Medley and Maker, come on. They're great.
I know.
You love Maker.
I think I actually...
Everyone knows it's windy.
I actually think I might have... Either I started that or I don't remember. Honestly, it's been so long since I played it. And then I tried to play...
You and Brian both. He got a Wii U and Wind Waker... Was it around Black Friday last year?
Yeah, it was last year around holiday time.
And he got Wind Waker and was playing it for a long time and then just stopped and played other things. But we've talked about it on this podcast multiple times with him. Just sit down and play it.
I know. I need to. Well, I also need, like, you know, 1,000 more hours of time in a day to just do whatever I want. It's like, no,
do
I want
it
all the time.
Acquire it.
Because I probably could play, you know, feasibly play Pokemon and, you know, continue doing this and do that. And
stop playing softball and play video games.
I know, softball's fun. Plus, I need, like, to see the sunshine every once
in
a while.
Yeah, no kidding.
I need to go outside from time to time. Everyone.
What's the outside?
I don't know. There's air out
there's
there.
There's people out there.
There's cats
softball.
Out there.
Softball sounds all
right.
It's a game.
I like it a lot.
What position do you play?
I play second, and we actually had a really really funny moment. So we finally got our team, like, almost completely back together of what we got, or what we had last year with people being injured and people being out for work and stuff like that, and we played our first game last year, or this year in Flat Rock, and the one guy was in the outfield, and I think we got 3 outs or something like that. It was like the first inning, and like, mind you, this is the beginning of the season, so we don't know what any of the teams are like temperament wise or skill wise or whatever. And we got the out, and the one guy in the outfield, and mind you, I mean, I'm at second base and he's in the outfield. I could hear him clearly, so I'm pretty positive some of their bench and or the batter heard it. Probably the ump. He was like, ha ha, we got you out. He's like, eat a bag of dicks. Like, I fell forward and I'm like, Jesus Christ. I was like, we almost got into like fights last year just with people being, people on the other team having bad temperaments. And then so like, we're like, all right, like, come on, like, bro, like, stop, you know, it's a co-ed beer league. Like, we're just trying to have fun. Like, they're getting all like super sassy and whatever about it. And so then they almost got into a fight and it was bad. So it was quite fun. And, We have a goofy team. Lots of inappropriate touching between the men, but that's softball.
That's sports.
But yeah, that's sports. Yeah, but no.
How much do the teams change year to year?
Well, not much. I mean, we lost, I think we lost two guys, or a guy and a girl from this team last year. So, I mean, there's 10 of us. So, I mean, that's, you know, a small percentage, but usually there's not too much turnover, I guess, so to speak. But at least with the softball pool is a very shallow pool. So you see a lot of people on other teams that you know and or have played with. Like, it's kind of funny to see especially, you know, in the Dearborn area, playing in different leagues in Dearborn, you see a lot of the same people. And it's like, hey, I know you and I've seen you and you subbed on this team and we played you.
How many leagues are you in?
4.
Damn.
So one's in Garden City, one's in Flat Rock, and then 2 are in Dearborn. So I don't think there's not one person I play with on every single team, but there's the Garden City and Flat Rock ones are kind of intermixed because the Garden City one initially was one that was a new one for me, not the place, but the team was new for me this year. But it was people from my Flat Rock team last year who asked me to play with them. So it's a mixture of them. And then the Flat Rock team first started with the mixture of people from that team and then some Westbourne people.
I remember you,
because that was kind of how that came about, because I was asked to be on that last year for that was the first outing of our team, Stranger Danger. So we're real appropriate, as always. We're talking about, you know, getting little kids into vans, like, while we're, you know, walking onto the field.
Like the safety, like,
yeah, the highlighter yellow digicamo. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's a good time. My bat bag matches it, and so do my bat gloves, so I've accepted it. And for our playoff game, we actually took the the Cards Against Humanity card that says Stranger Danger, and we put it in our dugout for the whole game. And I mean, we won all 3 games, you know, play till, you know, 1:30 in the morning. But we won a trophy and a umbrella, so that's nice. But yeah, that one was kind of a mix of that. And then Thursday is all museum people, which is, well, museum present and a lot of past museum people. But they all play on the historic baseball team, the La-Di-Das, that play in the museum or in the village, the green. So they have, you know, the one guy actually brought his wooden bat to our game. And there's no rules against wooden bats, so he was allowed to use it. And he actually made a comment. I think the first ball that he caught, because they don't play mitts historically with baseball. They don't play with mitts. And so he's like, I'm pretty sure that's the first fly ball I've caught with a mitt in like 10 years. Because he's played on this historic team for so long. And they go to, you know, tournaments and stuff and do that. So it's like a legit.
Tournaments too.
They do. Yeah, they have them. And there are other teams that are not just consisted of, you know, actually museum people or village people who play on that. But there's teams outside of the Greenville Village organization who play, which is kind of fun. And then Friday is a crazy, mostly Westbourne inspired / family of Westbourne people inspired with our crazy, well, and we're called, you know, the Shockers, which is also appropriate. And our team logo is actually the hand hand
the
sign
gesture, let's say.
Yep. And we have a foam finger that has the one finger cut off, so our team manager actually gave it to a small girl and let her run around with it and took a picture of her. And it's like, you child do not understand how inappropriate this is. But it's good times. So that's our lovely league. And usually we all go get drunk at the bar afterwards, which is also interesting too. So softball, lots of it all the time.
Team sports sound like fun if they didn't also make me want to like curl up into a ball and die.
Well, yeah, it's
not alone. I bet that if I was capable, I would have fun doing it. But I have intense anxiety about being dead weight and knowing that I would be the worst person in any position on a team of, especially like a softball or baseball, because we never did any baseball anything. Like we played catch. That was the most baseball we played
so
as kids.
We, Jillian and I, got indoctrinated into team sports at a very early age.
Second grade.
First grade.
Yeah.
We played summer softball at Cabrini, Dad's club softball.
Those were good times.
I did that. I don't remember if you did it more like past I did. I did it until fifth grade.
I think I was sixth grade, so we probably did it for the same amount of time. Because
then that's when, like, other sports were actually starting middle school and stuff. Because in that year, I started volleyball.
Yeah.
You were already in volleyball because you're a year ahead of me.
Yeah.
And then you went on to continue playing softball until junior year.
When they switched the seasons.
And that's right.
We had a high class winning softball team.
Yeah.
And they were not accepting seniors who had previously been on JV onto the varsity team, which was fine. That was Chitty and Katie Osborne and all them.
Was it a state or national record that they set?
It could have been both, honestly. I don't know.
Because they went like 0-39 or 39-0, that one. The winning
something
one.
Like
not
that.
The 39-0 would be good.
They won 39 games without losing one over the course of like 2 years.
2 or 3 years,
Like they destroyed it.
They really did.
And then Amanda Chitty, went on to play for U of M Dearborn and was on the national softball team.
Yeah, she played for she played for the USA team, and she'll probably play in the Olympics because I heard they just announced in like 2020 they're gonna have
she's legit
women's softball, and she's gonna be the
I've seen her on TV
coach of Duke's softball.
Oh
program,
wow,
I
did not know that.
Yeah, she just got that job not long ago. And
that's
she's playing for some other team, but you know,
that's
here
really
neither
cool.
here nor there. But it was just kind
she's incredible.
It's kind of crazy,
and it's weird to think that I played volleyball with her in middle school.
Well, I played softball with her for
too,
because she
played like volleyball with her too,
and
basketball even like way back in the day before
that's
freshman
just,
year.
But yeah, softball is kind of like something you have to have like have played like competitive wise a while, because like I mean even Diana played for not as long as I did, but she's terrified of softball. And so same thing with Carolyn. It's like I don't know, you just kind of have to have
Diana played once or like maybe 3 years with us, and then played like 1 or 2 years after in summer softball.
Yeah.
And then Carolyn maybe played one or not at all. I don't remember.
Maybe. I think she played in middle school, but she definitely didn't play in high school.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's when that's when Dad and Mr. Gallagher were still coaching.
Yeah.
I think that's why she was there, and Diana, too.
Yeah.
Diana didn't play in high school.
Yeah, I don't.
You were the only one who did.
Yeah.
And then you also played basketball and then tennis at one point.
Bowling and
bowling.
Yeah. Whichever sport. But I don't know. I feel like softball, it's pretty fun, especially when you have a good-natured team. Like, Fridays gets a little hairy because our manager is basically like, if we don't win and we play like shit, like, I'm going to start yelling at you. And it's like, basically it's like we have to win the league or not. Mm. And that makes for a lot of pressure, especially last year when I was new on the team and I was just kind of like, and I got thrown into positions that I wasn't used to playing because I was newer on the team and other people already had those positions.
Did you play shortstop most of the time in
usually it was
softball?
Third,
that's
which
right.
is still kind of, it was kind of a, it's a crazy position because you get a good bunch of ground balls, really fast ones too. But
right down the line.
Yeah, but I played second in like middle school. Mm-hmm. Not that really means anything when you get to slow pitch beer league softball. But my Tuesday team is really fun. I think that's probably the most goofy and kind of good natured team that I'm on. It's just, it's like that. Like eat a bag of dicks from like the outfield. Like.
The more things I've done outside of any school environment, the more I've seen how much people make up your experience.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, even, like, my senior design team would have been, the project was garbage and the clients were stupid, but I had a group of friends and we all had a great time working for the bags of dicks that wanted software. And then, like I've mentioned a million times, either on this or our DBZ podcast, like, our locals are amazing because everyone there is so much fun and so nice, and we're just there like you could have just done like 30 cards of damage to someone and we'll just laugh it off because who cares. Even if it's like high stakes like the 1K or any like the ARG event, but who cares, or the regionals, like people are generally having a good time.
That's the main point about it.
Much better.
Some of the people on our Monday team aren't as not good nature, but some of them are pretty competitive, and we did not do well in our league that just ended last week, or well this week I guess, and we just I don't know, I think we were in a too high of a class, but we won one game I think. Ooh. So out of like 8 weeks of doubleheaders, so it was a little rough, but I mean, it wasn't necessarily even that we were a bad team. It's just that we just weren't good mm-hmm. as these other teams.
They were just like a tier ahead of you. And
yeah. And so it was kind of frustrating because we didn't have as much fun in that one. But Tuesdays are always, always a good time. And then Fridays, most people are either drinking or already drunk while they're playing. So, I mean,
it is Friday.
And then they just laugh at Bob when he yells at us. So it's fun because then we're like, you're just like, well, we don't care. We're drunk. Like, we're just playing softball. It's like, yeah, we understand we're losing, but it's fine. We'll make it up.
A grand time.
We'll go get some home runs or something like that.
But grand slams back to back. Keep them coming.
I don't know if we ever got any. I actually almost got a home run the other day.
Good job.
Just, I mean, off of some errors, but if I was, and I felt bad because the catcher was, I'm pretty sure there was some sort of mental handicap going on because they were really kind of coaching him and helping him out. And he missed the ball, and I really could have ran into home, but because he was kind of fumbling around with it in the dugout. But we had already beaten them the first game, and I think we were winning still at that point. So I was just kind of like, well, it's not really that important. But I mean, I got to third off of, you know, they threw it to home, and you know, he missed the ball. So I was like, yeah, almost got a home run, but.
That's what I want to do. I want to hit home runs all the time. Yeah. I want to go to a batting cage that pitches like your dad when you're an 8-year-old and just swing for the fences 100%
of the time. Well, essentially that's what slow pitch is, even though a lot of the guys are kind of assholes about it and try to like quick pitch you or like pitch really flat so that way you can't really lift it, which is frustrating. But they actually do get called for strikes on that. Or not strikes, but balls, and they get warnings.
No, if they're like
For quick pitching, like basically leave the ball back and like chuck it right at you, or they throw it without, because it's got to have some sort of arc, which makes it slow pitch as opposed to like fast pitch, which is straight.
Yeah. So can you overhand? Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, because I was trying to think of like.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to do anyway. Like, it's a big ball, but
yeah, it'd be hard to do a good overhand slow pitch. I don't know how you would do that, but
I'm kind of like shot put it almost. That would be real high.
Well, like Kayla Kostich is on my team on Tuesday, and she played with us last year too. But her boyfriend is our pitcher, and he's this really, really hugely tall, probably at least as tall as you, Dustin, and long hair down to his shoulders, huge beard.
Oh my God.
The other team was calling him Thor. And so the one guy before we started playing was like, hey, dude, he's like, before we start, he's like, I just want to say, like, I really like your beard. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of strange. But like, he's this huge, like, huge guy. And like, he's like, doing all these weird kind of like goofy pitches, but he has such long legs. Like, the one guy was like, yeah, he's like, by the time he takes a step, he's like already 2 feet closer to the, you know, to the to home plate. So when he pitches, like, it's like it's, you know, less distance, so he kind of do more what he wants. But it's just
that's funny.
Getting a little creative is fun.
Oh yeah,
especially when you're not good at a sport. I was having a ball, whatever. We haven't been in a long time, but one of the more recent times when we were bowling, and I would just go find like an 8-pound ball and palm it and roll it that way. That was a good time.
I want to go bowling more. I like bowling a lot.
Yeah, sports are better when you have fun and you're just goofing around. I mean, the competitiveness is fun.
We need to tennis more.
Let us
tennis for the first time in years, and when we were in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I need to get my racket regripped. It's
well,
like coming apart.
I don't have a racket anymore because Carolyn took it. So
that's right.
You can give her one of those ones we bought.
Yeah. How do you feel about a $10?
Woo!
Good job,
yeah, the most skill.
Yeah, because when we were, I don't remember if I had mentioned this, but when we were playing at the courts in Florida, there were just these two kids just like messing around on the other court because there was two right next to each other, and they're like, "Do you guys want to play a game?" And I'm like, I'm getting serious. I'm like, okay, I need to go back here on the side. I'll serve to the other side. It devolved. It was nothing. It wasn't actually a game. They were like pretend. They were saying the scoring words like 15 love or whatever, but it wasn't actually like it was just a mess. So like I just kind of stopped.
Good
caring.
Practice.
But
yeah.
I like whenever I get on like I just it's weird. I just snap back into tennis mode, and like I'm like, oh. I'm like, do whatever, like trying to do everything the way it was.
Yeah.
Like, I like
buy the
sprint
book.
A lot more
it's
than
hard,
I
yeah.
ever do.
It's hard to get out of that. I mean, even
it's just like a switch gets turned. It's like tennis time.
Yeah, when you play a sport competitively for a while, it's hard to not be. Like,
and let the record show,
player.
I was never particularly good at tennis.
That's okay. Tennis is a sport. You kind of
like,
don't really have to be good at it. Like,
I only
you just,
ever played doubles, so
you
that
just
shows
kinda,
you that I wasn't.
You just kind of have
play
to
singles.
You just kind of have to play. Yeah. You got to make an effort.
Oh, it's so much fun. I love tennis.
And then you're good.
I want to tennis more. More tennis, please. Tennis. Yeah. Please.
No.
You tennis.
Mean. It's a good time.
Yeah.
It is. There's worse ways to spend your time,
there
I think.
Than tennis.
Seeing in the sun every once in a while is recommended.
Maybe.
Fresh air is all right.
Mm-hmm. No, it's nice when the weather's nice. I don't necessarily particularly care for the, you know, the double headers and the hot summer days. But
oh, no, it's the best. It's my favorite.
I can deal with it.
Night games. Night games are the best.
Well, yeah, night games
everything.
In the summer.
Night games are always the best. Yeah. Play a sport, play at night.
It is fun to be under the lights, though. Sometimes you lose balls in the lights. And
yay.
Sometimes they hit you in the forehead and you get a huge bump. But, you mm-hmm. know, we won't talk about that.
I'll never forget. It was the, I think you were in high school, that one parent player game when you were running to first and dad threw the ball and hit you on the elbow. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
You couldn't move your elbow. Like, you got
oh,
horribly bruised.
Yeah.
Was that high school?
No. That would have been, it would have been middle school.
That was, okay.
Yeah,
I couldn't
like
remember
7th or 8th grade.
He threw it so fast. I don't remember where he was on the field, but he chucked it to first. She got hit right on, like, her elbow was bent.
Of your,
and
yeah.
hit right there. Like, the stitches
oh,
of the
yeah.
ball were, like,
oh, yeah.
indented into her arm. Mm-hmm. And there's this nasty multicolored bruise.
Yeah, that's always the mark of a good softball hit, is when you can see the stitches on your body.
It was even better because it was just, cool. It was funnier because it was dad.
Well, like, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I guess that did happen. I don't know. There's been so many random injuries in softball. Like, I'm still recovering from taking a ball to the hand, like, from,
oh,
like,
yeah.
2 weeks ago from just my finger being jammed. So
oh, yeah.
I've been hit so, especially as a pitcher, too, back in high school. I was hit so many times in the mm-hmm. shin and just, ugh.
You got
just
some really
awful.
Gross sliding injuries before.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah, I finally bought a sliding pad
good.
For my leg and some socks because I told somebody, I was like, I've had too many days when I've been at work and people think I've been like gravely wounded because my leg is all bandaged up, and
nah,
I was like,
it's
no, it's
softball.
Really only my own fault. And then I've got, you know, scabs and scars and mm-hmm. my knee is purple now, like, just from, you know, busting it open. It's like, I've had too much scarring to mm-hmm. too many times bleeding at work to not get my own sliding pad. So it matches one of my jerseys. Just one. But
very cool. That sounds like fun.
It is fun. I enjoy it. Obviously, I wouldn't do it if I didn't enjoy it. And it's nice that people, I guess, admire or think that I'm skilled enough to play in multiple situations. So I guess that counts for something.
You're an athletic individual.
I would venture to say so, I guess. From time to time.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I haven't been up to much, doing work, doing grown-up stuff.
You
played like an hour of Mirror's Edge the other day.
You did.
It was okay. That game is, from what I can remember, and I haven't played the original since it was released some, like, not quite a decade ago.
Close
but
to it.
I'm going to say like 2008 maybe. That seems like a very similar game to the original
yes.
game. So if you if you've never played it, Mirror's Edge is basically like a first-person parkour game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a kind of first-person platforming. Like
yeah.
you're running through these weird, like, sterile, future authoritarian government cities,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of like leap over fences and slide under stuff and like do wall jumps and like all this weird
clamber over things.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. I've seen like a little bit of the first one before, and like. Watching you play that last night. I mean, it did look like more of the same, but it's really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
PS4 makes
what
things
is the
really
end
nice.
Game in all of that game?
I mean, it's like 1984-ish, like
mm-hmm.
government,
oh,
and you're
okay.
like, this one is a prequel to the
I think
one?
It's just like a soft reboot. Like
oh,
it is basically
right.
overwriting the original game, but like some of the like the characters and the story
mm-hmm.
beats are the same. I don't know. I don't remember, like you said, basically, like, futuristic authoritarian government,
mm-hmm.
corporations rule everything. That's kind of all you need to know. I was never there for the story wasn't the thing that kept me there the first time. And
I think the most I ever saw of that game was the speed run they did of it. I think it was Awesome Games Done Quick earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, like, they skipped, like, everything, but it was really funny to watch. And then they did, because it is all in first person.
Hmm.
Even at least in that game, even the cutscenes are and
oh yeah,
they I don't remember if it was like a donation incentive or what, but they showed some of the cutscenes with a third person camera, and so like the player character's model is weird because they don't have to animate everything, just things you need to see in the frame. So it was some of the geometry of the character was doing some weird stuff in some of these scenes. Because, like, sometimes, like, you're supposed to be looking down. And you're like, oh, you see, like, your waist and your feet or whatever. But then, like, the arms are just kind of, like, flying
That's
everywhere.
That's terrifying.
Like, it was really funny.
I do remember that now that you mentioned it.
Yeah. They showed, like, one or two cutscenes.
Pretty
but
sure that was the first-person hug I ever saw in a video game.
Yeah. And they showed that. I'm pretty sure they showed that. In the third person, and it was just, like, weird. Like, the arms go crazy.
Let me hug you, but also slap you in the face.
I did look down at my body while I was doing kicks and punches, trying the new game yesterday, and it looked all right. Like, it looked better than I thought
it
would.
I think the angle isn't correct, though.
I mean, yeah, that's definitely true.
Because, like, you were looking
as if
down,
your head, right, as if your
and
head...
And you could only see, like, maybe, like, waist down and nothing else, no matter how, like, it was just... Mm-hmm. And it was weirdly pulled back in a way that necks don't do.
Like, imagine your head didn't tilt, but just rotated exactly where it was.
Yeah,
centered
that's
over
uncomfortable.
Top of your neck. Yeah. Something like that.
How I feel about that. Let me rotate.
I don't know. I still had fun. I had enough fun to play. If I can find time, I'll play some more of it. But I can't. I don't. If you tried the old game and disliked it, I doubt you'll like this one because it feels very similar in terms
it
of like,
really
how it controls
similar.
And stuff.
I never played the first one, but I've seen it.
It looks like they've upgraded like the combat stuff a little bit, but I was just barely scratching the surface because that's
you
what they were just kind of tutorializing you on. Yeah, and they had suggestions for like, oh, you can like point the control stick and then like do attacks. So like if you do a heavy kick and you point to the left, you can like kick a guy in that direction. You can knock him over a railing or bump him into another dude or
why not?
Whatever.
Kick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems all right. Mm. I liked the first one a lot. Like, I think it's a cool idea, and it still seems, like, fun here. I'm enjoying it.
I still think it could be something maybe VR-ish in the future, but I think it might... They either need to, like, slow it down, or...
The thing there would be, like, you'd need to find... I mean, I guess you could just, you know, use a joystick or a regular controller or whatever, but the motion, like... That, at least Mirror's Edge is all about momentum. So like
yeah,
it's like, how do you simulate running really fast in VR without making someone throw up?
That's what, well,
somebody
I mean,
might
what
have
I'm
solved
saying.
That problem. I don't know. But
it just seems fast.
Hmm.
And it could disorient.
Mm-hmm. At the point, it's like you do like first-person somersaults and stuff sometimes, and you land,
oh,
and that stuff would all look real weird.
I did try to convey how... the VR works to Rudy and our volunteers, so people who are over the age of probably at least 60 for the one lady and you know over the age of 75 for the other. So
we haven't really
trying
talked
no,
too much about VR.
So we got a Vive.
Yeah.
The HTC Vive, which is the headset
the
from Valve.
Thing. So cool.
It's really neat. And those are like shipping now. I saw that in like the new stuff. Like you can just buy one.
Neat.
Because ours was technically pre-ordered, but
yeah. I mean, they got it to you like a month or two months actually, because it came in May.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to come in like July. So there you go.
It's a really neat thing.
It's so cool.
It's so
cool. I made it. Just remembering all of those things.
Job Simulator is a lot of fun.
So funny, like just, oh my gosh, all the moldy food and just everything. Just trying to, and even just trying to explain it to them when I was talking, I was like, yeah, I was like, you know, there's sensors that are up on these like booms, and like you have controllers, and I was like, you're completely in this thing. I was like, it's crazy, and they're like, I don't even understand how that works, and I'm like. That's okay. You don't need to understand. I was like, but it's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is really neat.
Put CDs in a blender. Make food.
Yay!
Spoiled milk. Burn croquettes.
I still think the only time that I've really, like, I don't want to say, like, felt anything was it Chunks? Is that what we were playing?
That was
That's the roller coaster
like,
game.
Yeah, kind of like half Minecraft-ish
half
that you
roller
could also
coaster
build
tycoon.
Roller coasters in, yeah.
And I built one, And then the first, except I was just standing up, like I was just, you can move around the space and like walk around like the roller coaster you're building and destroy the world and build up other stuff. And we were trying to figure out, because you can ride them, and we were trying to figure out how, because mm-hmm. none of us had played it before. And I found out how to get in it, and this, like, I was just put inside the roller coaster car, and I immediately, like, I was losing my balance. Like, I felt like I was gonna fall over. Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of did it, like, because you, mm-hmm. yeah, you later got me a chair,
yeah.
and then you tried it on and sat in it.
Because when you, how that game works for the roller coaster part specifically is, basically it observes physics in real time. So mm-hmm. if you kind of put, you can sort of drop the coaster on the track anywhere, and then if it's in like a weird bend or something, it'll kind of rock back and forth like a roller coaster
which
might
is what
before
it was
eventually
doing.
Coming to a stop.
So it's like slowly moving, and I'm just standing still, and mm-hmm. my mind is just like freaking yeah. out. So I was like leaning. I thought I was gonna mm-hmm. fall. Like I wasn't sick, but mm-hmm. I was just like. My balance was yeah. all over the place. And
that kind of speaks to the merit, I guess, of yeah. it as a game itself, like, to get you to be able to feel, like, really immersed. I mean, and even, like I was saying when I was doing the simulator, like, I was, like, bending down mm-hmm. and, like, reaching around things that weren't actually there because it looked like
yeah,
it was
that,
there. Like, it's just, it's unreal.
I mean, I almost put the controller through the floor because I was trying to go down farther to
yeah.
place the roller coaster track.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's crazy.
No, that part is, the most impressive thing about it is how well it represents, mm-hmm. Like, how well it represents spatial relationships.
Yeah.
And I think that's due to the sensors almost more than anything
mm-hmm.
because you have, like, that other interactive part. And, like, you can, it knows where you are mm-hmm. relative.
Right,
because
Jillian, when I put it on you the first time, and I said, all right, here, I'm going to hand you the controllers, and you just, like, you saw it and reached
yeah.
for it, and even though you couldn't see your
yeah.
physical hand, you could see where the controller
yeah,
was, and it was basically
weird.
Where you expected
it
to
really
be.
It really was, both of them. I mean, even, I had, you know, I couldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And I, even when I was inside that area, you know, I was mildly claustrophobic, just because it's so
yeah.
small, like,
uh-huh.
that little... you know, station you're at in the game. I was just like, oh my god, I was like, I don't have to move very far. I was like, everything, I was like, I feel so cramped.
Yeah.
Like, what do I do? Because
that other demo, the thing we did first where it like tutorializes
mm-hmm.
you and it like you shoot out the balloons or whatever,
mm-hmm.
that was the first thing that I saw after we got it and we got it all set up.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was the thing that was like it obviously, like it's still a little grimy and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's still like an early technology, but when I put it on, I was like, oh, this feels like a big room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, to the point that like I felt like my, like, and this was just my brain being tricked. I was like, does it feel colder? Like I was in a warehouse or something? That's what it looks like. But
yeah,
I was like,
it really does.
I was just like, oh, is it like chilly in here?
Yeah. Well, even a couple times I forgot you guys were there, and I'm like, I probably look like a complete moron, like standing here.
Diana,
like,
Diana took a Snapchat video of me.
Oh,
I
don't know if I saw that.
She said she didn't put
so
on
she
her
promised
story.
She wouldn't share.
Oh, okay.
She sent it to me, so I don't know if she sent it to
I don't think she sent
else,
it to me.
Of just me, like, putting the track
yeah.
up and just like bending
yeah.
down.
Which is, like, yeah, you completely lose, you know, track of everything
mm-hmm.
else that's around you to really be immersed in it. But I'm like, yeah, I was like, I've been, like, facing this way for, like, a really long time. I was like, I probably actually look like a moron
mm-hmm.
in real life. I was like, but
yeah.
I was like, it's so immersive, and
mm-hmm.
it's just
And, yeah, Wade was
crazy.
Doing the,
yeah.
like, almost pin the tail on the donkey thing where, like, he'd been playing for 30 or 40 minutes or whatever, and he's like, I have no idea which direction I'm facing. And he took it
yeah.
off, and he's like, oh, okay, there you are.
Yeah.
But
that's crazy, but cool.
No, it's really neat.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that stuff takes off in a way that, like, people continue to make things
for it. I feel like
it
will.
Because
like,
it feels special
it
in a
is.
Way that, like, a lot of those big, like, when you first played the Wii,
mm-hmm.
or, like, some like the first time you played a 3D game, like, if it was, like, Mario 64
mm-hmm.
or something else. For me, it feels special in that way of, like, all these amazing,
yeah.
like, this
mm-hmm.
is something that no one's ever done before, and it just feels really, really unique and really, really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think that part of it is the motion controls. Because, I mean, we have both tried Oculuses before.
And that was one of the old dev kits,
yeah.
like, a couple
but
of
I
years
mean,
ago at this point.
It's still the same basic, like, sitting there with the controller in your hand is so different
mm-hmm.
from having those wands, seeing the wands in the game
mm-hmm.
and being able to, like, use them so intuitively.
Yeah. No, I agree. I wouldn't
mm-hmm.
necessarily be as interested in stuff that was just, like, you're in a cockpit or whatever and you use a controller to, like, fiddle around
yeah.
like you would.
That's not
a
cool.
thing.
You can actually
experience.
Move around in the space
yeah.
and actually, I don't know, interact
mm-hmm.
with things. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, unlike anything I've ever seen or experienced. So fun.
Yeah, it's really impressive. So time will tell for sure.
Yeah.
But
I'm impressed.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
I want one.
From a technological standpoint, I am absolutely impressed, and I just hope people follow through and like keep making cool stuff for it, because all the stuff that's coming out now is still just a lot of experiments. Like,
yeah.
It's a lot of small people doing little projects, and like even bigger guys are just kind of figure out like what can we do, like what kind of stuff can we get away with and like make work well that people will enjoy or whatever.
I think,
but Job Simulator is a really good, like that's a solid. It's maybe the only thing that we have that's, I would say, is like a full-fledged like experience. Like every little part of it is very well thought out, and it does the sense of location stuff well too. Like my favorite thing in that was like opening one of the cupboard doors and kind of like reaching in around, and it just works.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, I'll pull out this milk or whatever, and
pour the milk in the tea, and then put soap in it too.
Put all of it together.
Mm-hmm. It's a really cool thing.
Glass shard,
firing
glass
guns
shard,
in virtual reality is really cool, but
you
weird.
Really like that.
Because it's just like, it feels like, I mean, it doesn't feel like firing a gun, but it's analog, like you would, like you aim in an analog fashion, like I was telling Wade, like, oh, like hold it up and like close one eye and actually look down the sights, and like that works to aim at a thing and shoot, as opposed to like, you know, playing a Halo or a Call of Duty or whatever, and you just kind of like fiddle with a stick until the reticle goes in the direction you want it to go. Yeah. Like, I don't know, it's very neat. It's the kind of thing where you can like, all right, I'm facing a target, and, you know, I turn 180 degrees, and then I put my arm behind my back, and I can shoot it. It's just, I don't know. There's something about that that's just really cool. But
yeah, I can't wait to see what else happens. And hopefully, like, that Sony one is good, too.
Yeah, everything I've heard about it, people seem to like it.
Because I feel like that might be the easiest for, like, non... in, like, the no gamer people might get, just because it's, oh, I have a PS4, let's get this thing.
Mm-hmm. As far as the like the apparatus, I think that one looks like it has maybe the best like head harness,
because
that was the one thing, like if I have a complaint about how the physical Vive is constructed, I wish the back of the like skull cap
feels,
was a little lower.
It feels
like,
high.
Yeah, I'd want it to like be go down and kind of hug under the back of your skull, like
as
if you feel
to,
on
like,
your head, you can
through.
Feel where it like, yeah, exactly, where your neck starts and in your skull, like you can feel the round part on the back of your head. The Vive, really, the harness part only is rests on kind of like the top hemisphere of
it
your
always,
skull.
I always, whenever I put it on, I feel like it's like going to come off or like it's not fully pulled down.
And if you tighten up the straps properly, it doesn't feel like it's going to come off your face while you're using it. But like Lorraine said, when you first put it on, you feel like, oh, I wish there was more like fabric here or something. Like, but it's a really neat thing.
What can you do?
Sorry, I'm yawning.
It's okay. Everybody's had a long day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's really neat. And everybody we've shown it to, like Jillian and Diana and Wade and everybody else, they've had this, a similar reaction of like, man, this is neat. What a neat thing.
Mm-hmm. Neato burrito. That's what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Eat the
very
exit
cool.
burrito.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too. Like, what did it have to do with burritos? I'm like, ah, exit. Eat a burrito. The only logical
the
thing to do.
Down, eat the burrito.
Eat the burrito.
Job simulator.
Just do it.
Indeed.
Just do it.
And with that, we'll move on to a little bit of news. Maybe
news.
A couple games that are out recently. And then we'll call this a show.
Woo!
I didn't pull, like you said, maybe when we started, but at least before we were on. E3 is next week.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of stuff that has either been officially released or leaked in like the last 24 hours or so. I didn't grab any of that stuff really, because it's kind of all like,
we'll just talk
exactly. It's that stuff's more interesting when you see the, you know, the trailer that goes with it or watch somebody play it. It's not that fun to just say, here's like a picture of a GameStop poster or whatever for a thing that's probably coming out this year. So yeah, we'll get to it, but Nintendo, it did say that they're going to show more stuff at E3 than just Zelda. So they're showing off, like, Pokemon, which is the thing that I thought was the... If there was any, like, it made zero sense for that not to be there.
Yeah.
So now they're going to show it off.
Well, they're showing off Sun and Moon and Go.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Which I still kind of don't really care that much about.
I don't know. I at least download
from what
it.
I've seen... Well, yeah, but from what I've seen, it doesn't seem like the amazing thing everyone thought it was going to be.
Well, you never know.
Because it's like, have you heard anything about it? Yeah. I mean, from what the screenshots I've seen are just kind of like,
I do like the idea of, like, going somewhere to catch a unique Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Just, like, if you were traveling and, like, oh, I'm in Philadelphia, I'll go get an Onix because he lives here.
This is where he goes. Yeah. I'll go get him because I'm here, too.
He just loves chocolate.
He loves
Eat
it.
Eat the Hershey's Factory.
I don't know. That part still sounds kind of fun to me.
We'll see what it ends up being. It's a cool idea, but I think everyone was like, oh, my God, it's like Pokemon in real life. It's not really. It's just a good...
People poured all their historic nascent hopes of like, make a Pokemon MMO and there'll be like a whole world that exists 24 hours a day and everyone's connected. And yeah, I kind of get what you mean, that like people had maybe hopes that were a little too high for what ultimately a mobile game, a location-based mobile game is going to end up
maybe
being.
Maybe one day.
It's still, I'll check it out. I signed up for the, like, to get asked to go in the beta and did not get an invite. So.
Rude.
Cry forever. Oh, I need to stop yawning.
But anyway.
Wake up.
Speaking of Pokemon.
Ow.
People in Japan ranked their top 100 Pokemon.
I saw that too.
Would you like to know what some of the top 100 Pokemon in Japan
are? I know who the bottom one is too.
I do not know who the bottom was. So here, I have the list in front of me. Greninja is number one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I saw that.
There's a lot of new ones like in the top couple.
So Arceus is the second. Like, that's stupid.
Oh, there it is. I got it. I found it.
Oh, you did.
Mudkip is number 100.
No, they did all of them, all 720.
Oh, so who's literally the worst Pokemon?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yes, I do want to know this.
I want to know.
Who was ranked as the worst Pokemon?
I think it's Simisear, if I remember correctly.
That seems harsh. That seemed random.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I get it, but
especially
like,
since there's basically two other equivalent.
Yeah.
Like,
so why do those ones get boosted up higher than that one? Unless if they're also, you know.
Yeah, Simisear is in last place. Hmm.
Who's second to last?
I don't know. Just Serebii listed the last one and then the top five.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, the top five.
So what was it based off of? Just
people wrote likeability? In or whatever. No, like, it's just fans. Hmm. Fans ranked them.
Okay.
People
off of just who they like, not necessarily strongest or prettiest. Because
it's like
an election intended to promote the next Pokemon movie. Over 500,000 Japanese fans voted. Greninja, the ninja-like frog, was number one.
Because they're gonna give him out with like the movie or something like that.
Like you said, top five: Greninja, Arceus, Mew, Pikachu, and Sylveon in that order. Charizard number six.
I'm surprised that Pikachu.
Why is Meloetta at nine? And Zygarde, why?
That's what I'm saying. I saw Zygarde at number 10, and I was
like,
really?
It's just,
like,
all legendaries. Like, the top 20 are basically all legendaries.
I would love to see what the, like, the U.S. or, like, Western equivalent
really?
Of this list would be.
Really? 43 is Regigigas? Really?
Bulbasaur at least made the top 100. I think he's, like, 89 or something.
Oshawott's 51. Oshawott the best. Pichu at 69, really? Pichu's that high? Pichu above Raichu, which is at 71.
Let's be real, guys. I just want to hear the Regirock and Registeel cries again. Like an EDM track. That's what it sounds like.
Some weird choices on there.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised that Charizard made the top 10.
No, I'm surprised Charizard isn't
Charizard
in the top 5.
Charizard and Pikachu were the two that I was like, oh, those will still be really high. And Mewtwo, kind of. He's at number 11. So
Mewtwo should be higher. Why do people like Arceus? He's stupid. He's not even like, you can't use him ever. He's banned from everything.
he's got their own taste.
He's too strong. All of his stats are like 700 or something like that. They're obnoxious.
Mm. There's a new trailer for Yooka-Laylee released.
The first trailer for Yooka-Laylee.
You told me about this? I guess so. Like,
so this is, I don't know if you how much you know about this.
I'm
going
to make sure my computer's muted and pointed at Jillian and push the play button. Continue talking.
This was a Kickstarter campaign of people who used to work at Rare. They made a new studio called Playtonic Games, and this is Mirror's Edge. And they ran this campaign last year. I backed it, and it's getting made.
Look at you.
And it's basically like a reimagining, if you will, of like the Banjo-Kazooie games. It's a chameleon and a bat. And you're collecting pages instead of jiggies, and it's another one of those, but it looks adorable and.
Oh, rating pending. Who knows what
I
kind
can't
of hardcore
wait.
Content's gonna
oh,
be
yeah.
in this
PG-13.
I mean, when you see it in action, you'll be like, that could have been a Banjo-Kazooie game. Like, that's exactly what it looks like. It's super colorful and it's cute. and I can't wait, because they're one of their backer things was like this like sort of like a little playable demo.
That's really good for a Kickstarter campaign. Is this what they made from it?
This is what it's still in development, and this is like, I mean, this is people who worked in the games industry. Yeah, like true, these are all people who have worked on, and some new ones. Like they have, they've expanded a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these are definitely veterans.
These are seasoned.
I mean, they have
people.
A decent budget too. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming because the Kickstarter.
Oh, they got like a couple million pounds.
Yeah, and I wouldn't doubt if there's other outside investment after the fact also.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, this
it does look
exactly
very
Banjo
and
Kazooie. Yeah, for sure. But
I can't
cute.
Wait. Because they're one of their reward tiers was they're doing like a little kind of like it's not quite the game.
Oh god,
but
do you even
they
shoot
it,
things in first person?
They call it a toy box, like, and it's just gonna be like you can. It's not anything that's in the game, and you just play around and like do whatever. And that's coming out next month.
Oh, really, use the bat to use the bat to fly.
Yay!
Kind of like Kazooie.
I didn't know it was coming out to Wii U too. That's news for me. I forgot about that. But yeah,
it's cute.
So it's coming out. Quarter one next year.
Okay. I was gonna say ukulele. I was like, "What are you talking about?
That's Banjo Kazooie.
That's an instrument."
Not to throw any more unneeded shade on Mighty Number 9, but this game looks like a better version of "Hey, we don't have the rights to this old thing, so we're making a new one of those" than Mighty Number 9 does to Mega Man games. But you know what are you gonna
Mighty Number 9. Is the Kickstarter campaign from what would we just at least 3 years ago?
Something like that.
From the guy who originally made Mega Man at Capcom, who left Capcom and wanted to make another one because they weren't really making Mega Man games anymore, or really bad ones.
It's a similar kind of thing of, game that's a platformer with a little robot guy. And
it's very similar to the other Mega Man games, but it's been delayed a million times. They put out a trailer that was interesting quality, and it still doesn't have a release date, or has it been delayed again?
No, it's coming out like in like 2 weeks or something, presumably.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah,
I'll
so it does
it
have a
I
release date now, but yeah, exactly. Although I'm pretty sure they're locked in. I got my like, hey, go pick your platform for real this time requests. So
because Dustin backed that when we were still at UVM Dearborn.
Oh, wow. So
yeah,
a while ago.
Well, that's how I knew how long it was. Yeah. I was like, we hadn't graduated from
school
when this was a thing, so I knew it had been a bit.
And yeah, it's like,
we'll see what happens. I'm still interested to see what it is. But
me too, but it's just kind of like,
anticipation is a little more
people
tepid
are not happy.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly just because of, like, that and the fact that they did another Kickstarter campaign after that for like something else.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
just bring out the game.
they kind of set themselves up for not good feelings and press. And
anyway,
moving on.
Persona 5 has a U.S. release date. I just saw this minutes ago before we started talking about stuff. It's coming out in February 2017 in America, which is not necessarily surprising. When they didn't say that it was coming out day and date with the Japanese release, when they announced the Japanese release, I assumed it was coming a little later. And it's got some Crazy Nuts Collector's Edition. It looks like it has a gym bag and a stuffed cat and soundtracks.
CDs
and
like an art book or something.
Maybe a phone case or something.
I didn't put my phone on silent.
I don't know.
Whoops. I think you should play a Persona game at some point.
If you give her, you could give her, you could loan her that Vita TV. And that copy of Persona 4 Golden. It's really something else. It's a very high quality Japanese RPG.
Ooh. Also, like High School Simulator 2.
Yeah. Also, it's kind of a dating sim.
Kind of dating sim. Because you're high schoolers.
You have to hang out with your friends and make them stronger and help them with their problems.
Yep. It's a lot of fun.
I would be down to try it.
It is a really solid turn-based JRPG. If that's what you need.
Maybe
we'll
do that before she leaves today. but yeah, I'm excited. I will definitely play that
Persona.
Game. Like, we'll play it. I'll watch you play it or both. I want to see that game.
I do too. Persona games are real good.
Mm-hmm. But that's worth getting excited about.
Yay!
And I hopefully won't see much of it. Like, I don't want to see a bunch of the Japanese version.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't want to. I just want to kind of come into it cold still. Mm-hmm. So with that, like, 5-month gap or whatever, it might be hard to avoid. like spoilers on the internet or something. But
I mean,
try to keep my head down.
Yeah, I feel like at least like Persona's niche enough that.
Well, that definitely used to be that way, but like, it's still not like a Call of Duty or whatever.
Well, at least
but.
Like the, I feel like the Japanese version won't spread. Like if it was like if you waited like 5 months after the English one, I feel like that would be a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
To like keep your nose to the ground and not
sure.
see anything. Not as many people, I feel, cover, like, non-localized versions of things unless you really look for them.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
What was it called then, High Mitchman? The Sound Deprivator 5000 or something
oh,
like that?
Oh, where you got, like, the noise-canceling headphones
yeah.
and the tiny little
just
ones.
Do that.
Yep.
You will see nothing.
I don't want anything. You're going to need that if you want to keep Pokemon spoilers out of your life because I can't tell. I can't guarantee that I won't be showing you things or try to show you things unless you tell me otherwise.
To me?
You.
Wait, what's
oh, that's fine.
Just he doesn't like seeing the guys before the game comes out.
But
I love seeing
okay.
them.
I just all I saw was the starters because I think weren't they leaked or
no.
was it?
They put them out.
They
okay.
put them out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if I showed you the potential leaked second stages. I might have shown those to you.
I don't think I saw those.
I don't remember. I think I showed someone.
I
but
just saw
was
the
it you? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was me.
I just got excited about that.
Mm.
That's all.
The only things that they've shown thus far are the starters and the two legendaries,
mm-hmm.
and that's it.
Hmm.
They've
okay.
shown nothing else. Hopefully
Indeed.
We'll see more. I want to see more. I need more Pokemon.
I must see them all. Game Though game. I did get into quite a discussion yesterday about when we were talking about Sun and Moon, what
mm-hmm.
they were going to do as far as if they're going to add, you know, tons more, if they're going to kind of just make a new world and add some couple new ones or... Because
that's really
like
what they did
just,
with Gen 6.
Yeah.
Like, there was less than 100 new Pokemon in those games.
It's just so hard to keep
yeah,
up with them. I can't
point.
Keep up with
uh-huh.
any of them. Like, people are, you know, spouting off these names and I'm like,
I
don't
probably
know.
Probably spout off
I'm sure
of
you could and you do
with,
and I don't understand. I'm like, I don't know which one that
with
is.
With this month's distribution,
stupid
I'll say this on here because I've talked about this
type.
Enough. On this podcast in general, I finally got Manaphy because they're distributing it this month for the 20th anniversary. So
oh,
I have
right.
all 720
that.
Pokemon, save for the new guy who hasn't been released here yet, Volca something or other, like legendary guy from X and Y, who's only been released in Japan, I think, once, but not here yet. So whenever we get the movie, he'll probably be around.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got all of the ones you can legally get in this country.
Legally or
legally.
Illegally.
And like my second Manaphy ever. Because our first one was from Ranger back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I never played another Ranger game to get another Manaphy.
Nope.
Nothing against that game. That game was
yeah.
fine. I just didn't want to play more. And they made
yeah.
like two more. I think most of them are available on the Wii U.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember that game.
Draw circles around dudes.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. I wasn't a huge fan.
No.
It
was
just
it
was hard.
Fine.
Yeah, it was
but,
okay, but
like,
it was just like, why am I doing this game?
I don't know. Who cares?
I don't understand.
New video games. Or
new
ish video games.
New old releases.
No old releases.
Donkey Kong Country 3 came out on the Wii U.
No.
Or never mind, that's 3DS.
Yep.
My bad.
The new
Metroid
3DS.
Metroid Prime Hunters came out on the Wii U.
Ooh.
Remember that first Hunt cartridge you had for your...
Do you think that game has multiplayer? Like, on the Wii U? Because, like,
I don't
the whole
know.
Thing, right?
Yeah.
I wonder. That's a really weird game
you
to
know what would be
digitally.
Really cool? I doubt they do this, but you know how a lot of those earlier DS games had, like... Or at least
mm-hmm.
most DS games even, not even just the early ones, had, like, download play.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there's a way to make the Wii U act like a DS and just push out that download play signal and have, like... Because I know you can pick it up with 3DSs if you could then play those games multiplayer locally with someone playing on a Wii U with your 3DS.
Hmm.
You know what? I doubt it, but
I
guess
do
anything
doubt
is
it,
possible.
But... Because the Wii U and 3DS can communicate, because you can like send your Mii there, at the very least, they can they can talk to each other.
You'd have to look into it.
I
guess is no, but
I'm guessing no too. But that would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be on board.
Mirror's Edge Catalyst came out. We already talked about that.
Woo.
That Psychonauts port for the PS4 came out. That's kind of neat, I guess.
Yay.
Paragon's out. That's the when we were talking about the mobile-like shooters. That's the Epic Games one.
Hmm. Oh yeah, we discussed those.
It's not Overwatch or Battleborn.
That's right. It's that third one.
That Kirby game for the 3DS.
Robo Planet Robobot.
Kirby colon Planet Robobot is out.
He drives a mech.
Is out on June 10th.
Why not?
Pink Kirby mech.
He doesn't need to drive.
He does.
He flies. Did you know, Kirby, that you fly? Sort of fly.
And then on June 17th, there's a listing here for Minecraft Wii U Edition, which is maybe like a physical release. That's my assumption.
Probably, because it's already out.
Yeah.
It's been out for a long time.
But that's kind of interesting, I guess. And then I was right there at the end of the month. Mighty Number 9, it's back on the calendar, June 21st.
And then Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE is coming out. So that's Persona Cross Fire Emblem. In it's stranger. From what I've seen, it looks like a nightmare. Like just
like Japan.
Japanese sounds kids fun. Who want to be like pop idols, and
oh
then
God.
They summon Fire Emblem.
They summon
characters?
Fire Emblem characters that help them with their pop music and
wait,
also to fight monsters.
Literal Fire Emblem characters, though,
like
or?
Read, like they're actually like because like from the Fire Emblem Awakening from 3DS, like Crom is there, but he looks different. Like they're all redesigned, so they don't just look like
right.
They're not like just Fire Emblem characters, but they're Fire Emblem characters. It looks like a fever dream.
I just don't know.
Speaking
of, like, not fever dreams per se, but I was watching, you know, The Joy of Painting with Bob Ross the other day, and it would be quite interesting to just kind of, like, take a Xanax and just watch it for hours and be like, oh, that is such a happy tree, like, just a little cloud, like, that would be an interesting time, I feel.
Oh, this
like,
couch is so
just
good.
Like,
Bob Ross
just,
and chill.
I'm just watching that, and I'm like, you know, it's like, it's interesting to watch, intriguing, and just watch it, just like, it would be quite the experience.
You pop that Xanax and put on your VR goggles and do the giant fake, like, cinema screen, so it's like a 200-foot screen.
There you go.
With Bob Ross.
Bob Ross. Oh, he says, like, God bless all the time. Yeah. He showed, like, a video of these squirrels he was raising. I'm like, what does this have anything to do with painting? Like, I don't know. But, like, he was just like,
I'm into it.
It's just, I...
Man.
No. It's like, that.
Oh, Lord.
That is interesting. Then I tried to, like, look up online to see how much, like, one of his paintings would cost. Like, just out of curiosity. Mm-hmm. Like, pure, like, did he ever sell these? Like, why? Where are they now? Because I'm pretty sure he's dead.
Yeah.
He passed away a while ago.
So it's like, are these still,
was
like,
the past 10 years?
Circulating around? Like, what is
would
going
you
on?
Did you find anything?
Not really. Huh. If, and not that I really looked into it to see if it was authentic or not, but I think I may potentially have found one, and I think it was like $200 on eBay or something like that, which I'm like, okay, that might be legit.
Because he did, that was like public access.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He did that all out of pocket.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
he was just painting.
The joy of painting.
He was just painting.
He
like,
was just a guy who just liked to paint.
What a stand-up guy. But
and, like, his son did a few sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, he talked about his son in one of them, and I'm like, you have a son? And he's like, we lived
when
in Alaska for, like, a decade. And I'm like, you lived in Alaska? What?
When they did that thing on Twitch, when they were just streaming every episode for, like, however long that was, like, we caught a few where his son was just doing it.
Yeah.
It was just, like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Bob just, Ross, man.
Yeah. I just.
What a guy.
But that was my evening.
Fever dream
after,
tangent.
Right? Of Bob Ross. Robert.
Robert.
If you will.
Oh, Robert. Yep. Bobby Ross.
Bobby Ross!
Completely unrelated. It has nothing
unrelated.
To do with... Oh, yeah. My God. Trap Vision.
Oh, God. The days of Phantasy Star Online.
But that was Phantasy Star Zero.
Well,
you know that?
Yeah,
was
it was Zero. It was Zero.
It was me, you, and Eric playing online while he was at Grandpa's house and we were at our house. Oh, my God.
Why did we have to... I don't. God, that game. Those times. Even just playing it at Grandpa's. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's
oh,
just
God.
The funniest thing.
That one time when Eric finally came back into the state, and then Angela played with him, and he took us to, like, the cave or something, and we were not ready for the cave. And we both died, and then he revived me, and then I didn't have any revives, and then he died, and it was a nightmare.
Oh, my gosh. Just that game. Those times.
I wish I still wish I had someone to play PSO2 with. Because I would pick it up and play it again.
I would play it if I had the capabilities.
you do get it on your, I don't know if it's on Mac, so maybe that's your only sticking point. Download it, get the English patch, play with me. I want to play with someone because the game is still fun, but I can only play for by myself for so long.
Fighting those, like, I don't know what it was, like, wolf, like,
gobas? What were they called? Yeah,
I don't remember.
All of them. Those, like, everything. Hunchback guys. Yeah, they were
really,
everywhere.
It's like a different planet, so it's not really that. Okay. And it looks a lot nicer.
And even just the whole, the movement.
It's
so much, it's like,
it's so much faster. Everything like, looks beautiful. The game is amazing.
It's just like
I still
chopping
love it
away. Like, oh, goodness.
I just wish I had people hours play with everything's in Japanese. Mm-hmm. And everyone around me is in Japanese.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I have no one to play with. It's just me. Mm-hmm. And then I always, for whatever reason, like, because when you turn it, like, when you log back in or whatever, you're where you logged out. So I'll always go onto the balcony of, like, the lobby area and just sit on top of this, like, outcrop that's, like, beyond the fence. But, like, above, like, it's really close to the elevator to get to, like, just load the other map. So I'm just, like, sitting up here on my little, like, perch. That's where I go to stop. And that's where I start off. You can jump in that game, Jillian.
Oh my, you can jump.
You
in
can
that
jump.
One.
You can jump. You can
put
jump.
Put it on
in
the box. Bullet point. You can jump.
You can jump. You can shoot.
Man. Maybe
anyway,
someday.
That is the life.
Find a friend. Find a fantasy star friend.
It could be me.
I tried to convince Eric to do
it,
but
out
he
how
just
to
didn't
download
do
it.
It.
Mm-hmm. It's a, I don't know. It's a thing.
It is a thing.
Anyway.
Whatever Sega monsters. It's totally still. It's not coming out. Stop lying to me. Mm-hmm.
They're too busy helping release
pachinko machines.
Mario and Sonic, the Rio Olympics 2016.
I forgot this is. I keep forgetting this is an Olympics year.
Yeah, it's also coming out. At least as far as we know, still mm-hmm. there's. Hopefully, Mario and Sonic don't get Zika.
Oh God!
Or a horrible bacterial infection
I mean,
from the water.
Gonna, it's not going to affect them.
Did you see that the doctors were saying that if you ingested, I think it was like 3 teaspoons of the water that people will be. In during the water events, there's like a 98% chance you'll get an infection because it's full of feces.
Ew.
So
I read that about
thanks,
like,
Brazil.
Like public pools too, like well, that they're just like 99% like fecal matter and like urine and like just like dead skin cells. And I'm like, oh. Well, I was trying to convey mm-hmm. that to Carolyn when we were up north too. She's like, oh my gosh, a catfish is going to eat my toes. Like, because she caught a catfish in the lake and, like, at the bottom of the lake. And, of course, you know, Greg wasn't helping.
No,
but,
he never does.
No. And then so she was freaking out. And I'm
and
like, would you rather swim in a pool filled with other people's, like, poop and urine? Or would you rather swim in the lake where the ecosystem filters the water naturally and is not as harmful yeah. I guess to you
it's
as
cleaner than you are
yeah
like
I'm
the
like
whole dog's mouth thing
exactly I'm like I would rather swim in a lake and a or a body of water than
or the
a pool
ocean
or the ocean the
watching
salty
the
salty ocean
dive at fish
things hitting
away.
Me underneath the water don't know what that was or a little like flat like fish jumping I don't know that's all I can describe it as but it was flying across the water and it was flat
Woo!
And it was like a jellyfish I don't know
it probably wasn't a jellyfish
it probably wasn't
do
I know they don't but
oh,
they don't have brains
yep. No.
And with okay. that fecal water and all I think we're gonna call it a show
no jelly no
Jillian thank
jellyfish.
You for joining us
yeah
for
thank you for
out,
having me hopefully
talking about stuff and things
yeah. Party hard
we'll be back in a couple weeks with more stuff
the
more
excitement.
Talking more Final Fantasy Online
yep.
more it's more DBZ stuff in a little
yep.
bit. So everything we do, we'll be back with some of it.
Yeah.
Thank
keep
you guys for listening.
On Twitter and Facebook or something.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. We
send us emails, please. Podcast at cubicorngames.com.
And with Lorraine's plea.
Please.
We are signing off for now. Thanks, Internet. We'll see
bye.
You guys later.
Bye.